She was
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
She was Hey.
Hey, Emma.
Hey.
Hey, Tony. How you doing, sweetie?
Oh, Derek. I'm fine, honey. How are you?
I'm actually getting better. I'm getting better and better and better, and it's because of GGG.
I know. I'm so sorry we haven't been able to catch up. It's been like a clusterfuck.
That's okay.
No problem. But I figure...
But Guinness wants to know when you're going to come out and visit. He wants to show off his new body.
I know. I want to see it. But Ed moved to Palm Springs.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Yeah. And Jimmy moved to South Carolina.
Oh, dear. Well, if you went to Palm Springs, I would bring Guinness down to say hi.
That would be great. Are you familiar with Cathedral City?
Yeah.
That's where Ed's at. That would be great.
Okay. So when you come out, just let us know, because Guinness would like to do a road trip. It would be fun.
Okay. All right. I would love
that. So anyway,
tape
is rolling, so I'm going to count us down and get started. Oh, and I wanted to tell you, on Barb's question, it says that we all...
Yeah.
All the same age in all of our parallel lives. Where is it? I thought I had something written wrong, but I could be wrong. Oh, I see where it is. Are we the same age in all of our parallel lives, not and all our parallel lives?
Okay, I got it.
Just noticed that. All right, here we go. I'm going to count down.
Oh.
4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, everyone. It's April, and Tony and I are here again today to talk about our pets and also to talk, to Veronica and ask her a few questions. That's always fun. And I wanted to start out today that I have not talked about my cockatoo very much. His name is Tutu. He was a showbiz bird. He used to do commercials and movies and TV shows. And he belonged to my best friend who was married to a animal trainer out here in Los Angeles. Well, they got divorced about 13, 14 years ago, and Tutu, my friend, got him as part of her settlement because he was a working bird. Well, she had to get a job when she got the divorce, and it involved a lot of travel. And cockatoos and parrots, they need a lot of attention and input every day, or they start pulling their feathers up and get all cuckoo. And that was starting to happen to Tutu. So my friend asked me, it was about maybe 14 years ago now, she asked me to take him. She said, because I know you work from home all day. You're there. He's got someone to be around. Okay. So I've had him all this time. He's hysterical. He's so human, it's ridiculous. But every 3 months, I have to take him in for a beak trim because he has a congenital kind of crooked beak that if you don't trim it down, it kind of collapses on itself, and it's hard for him to eat. So he has to have a beak trim every 3 months. I also get his wings clipped, and I also get his little nails done because his talons can be brutal when you try to pick them up and then they're too long. So I take him to the veterinarian to do that, which is about a 45-minute ride. He loves being in a car, and I put him on the passenger seat in his carrier, which he's about halfway showing in the window, and it's all mesh all the way around so you can see into it very well. He likes to harass other people in cars when we pull up to red lights and stuff. He'll look over, and he'll squawk and screech, and that'll make them look over, and then you can see him. He's going, "Hi, Tutu. I'm Tutu. Hi, Tutu," and everybody cracks up when they see him do this. And yesterday we were coming home. He had behaved himself, thankfully, at the veterinarian to get his trims done. So when we get back in the car, he has these little bowls, and I had put some nuts in there for a treat because he was a good boy. He started to eat them. They're, like he was, and he was looking over, and there was a guy that pulled up next to us at the red light. He started throwing peanuts at him. Now, of course, it didn't hit the window or anything, but it was hitting the side of the thing, and I'm looking over, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm just playing. I rolled the window down just a little bit to get some air in because it was starting to get, it was very humid out here for us. And he leans over and pushes his thing into the window, and he looks over at the other guy and goes, rock on, rock on. And apparently this guy had his window down and could hear him, and I thought this guy was going to lose it. He was laughing so hard. He looks at me and he goes, this is your bird? I said, yeah. He's like a human. I said, yeah. And so we're at the red light, so we couldn't talk long. But as we pulled away, Tutu looked at me and went, cool. That was cool. So he talks like a person. I don't talk about him enough because he's so human, I forget that he's a bird half the time. But he is hysterical. And all the he used to ride on when before Guinness crossed over with his other body, he would get on the back of Guinness as Guinness walked around, because at this point Guinness was very slow walking. He would ride him around the house on his back. And all of my animals, my cats and my dogs, are desensitized to the bird. I mean, they sit right next to him at sometimes when I'm sitting at the kitchen table and I got the bird right next to me. They go and lay down and say, hey, hi. And he says hi to them and sometimes he even tries to pick little fleas and stuff off of them. He's human, half human for sure. And everyone else is doing great. Day makes my life better. And I'm not diminishing my two girls because they every day make my life better. I'm so glad I have my animals. They're like the children, only they're more appreciative than children, I think. And I'm in love with all of them. They're my whole world. So, Tony, how are your little kitties doing over there?
Well, QQ had her first vet appointment, and she was an angel. She was a little angel.
Oh, she was.
And, you know, when they found out she was married to Ringo, Rachel's dog, I sent them the wedding video that has the music. It's on her Instagram, showing they got married at St. Pat's Cathedral in New York, and they had their wedding reception at the Rainbow Room in New York. And it's quite funny. I think I sent it to you, right? Did I?
I don't think you did. I don't think you did. You have to send it. I did not see it. Oversight.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, they've been married a year now, so I reposted it in case anybody forgot or new people coming to Instagram, they can see their wedding. So the vet appointment was great. All the doctors there are laughing. They took a copy of the video and put it on their website. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Oh, cool. How very cool.
Well,
I'm going to go get Veronica, and you say hello to our audience who's waiting for Veronica with bated breath, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today. And as I, say, we have great questions. And really, don't be shy. Write in to innerwhispersradio.com. And that's I-N-N-E-R, whispersradio.com. Are you there, Veronica?
Indeed we are. Good day to you.
Good day to you. Our first question is coming from Barb. Are we the same age in all of our parallel lives?
Yes. The parallel lives are created from your day-to-day creation in your life. You are who you are. You're the same age. Now, in some of them, you maybe contract a disease and you die early, or in some of them, you might have a car accident. The endings, the beginnings and endings can be very different, but you are who you are and the same age that you are in all of your parallel lives. Because what is happening, those parallel lives are the alternate choices that you didn't pick in the life you're living right now. Not like past life or future lives or anything like that. It's parallel lives are Mary Smith's living her life And all the choices that she makes and that she chose in that linear life, the alternative choices manifest into a parallel life. And that is how it's done. So, yes, you're the same age in all of them, but you maybe might leave a little sooner than others.
All right, our next question is coming from Kat. Please explain again the process of crossing over.
All right. Now, it depends upon whether you cross from being ill or you have an accident or you fall under a bus or something. When you first get there, you know that you are going to be crossing, and when you arrive, you are always greeted by loved ones and friends from this life that may be crossed before you, and also those who might have been in other lifetimes that maybe didn't incarnate in this most recent life that you took. So, and you do have that reunion time. Then your guides take you and you go into what we call contemplation. And in the contemplation, you go over everything that's happened in the life, good, bad, and the ugly. You go through it and determine what you want to do next, whether you would like to stay for a little while in the eternal and rest and recuperate, or if you decide you never want to go back to linear reality and choose some other form of evolution. There's all these different ways. So crossing over, let's say if you crossed and you didn't realize you were going to cross, maybe it was a car accident, and let's say you were like 30 years old and you get there, there may be a little moment where you don't realize quite what happened. Guides will come in and work with you and bring you up to speed so that you're not dangling in thin air, not knowing what's happened to you. It's important to know that because then there's also the suicide. Sometimes people despair and have so much pain that they decide to take their lives. Many religious organizations and stuff say, oh, yep, you're never getting into heaven type of thing. And there's no judgment. There's just no judgment when you arrive from a suicidal moment, because everyone in spirit knows that you are in deep pain. They will come and be with you and comfort you and help you get through the issues that caused you to decide to take your life. So there's no judgment, no harshness, and it's a little different for the circumstances of leaving, but when you get there, you have the opportunity to connect with everyone, and then you go do your contemplation. And from there, you decide how you want to proceed, and it's your choice. There's no being sitting on a throne and says, oh, you must do this, or you must go pay for that, or, hey, you've got to go back to planet Earth. You only go back to planet Earth if you agree. And if you've done something horrible, say like a Hitler, you have to experience everybody's pain, the pain that you cause. So someone like Hitler was going to be doing that for a long time if you're measuring it by linear standards. There's many things that happen with crossing over. We're just giving you sort of the standard version. And, of course, because you're all unique and very different, sometimes there can be variance on that. But that's sort of the basic premise of crossing over.
All right. Our next question is coming from Trevor. You have said that our pets often reincarnate and come back to us during our current lifetime. Does my cat need to come back as a kitten, or can it come back as a walk-in?
It varies. It depends upon the kitten, and it depends upon the person. Pets are on a different program than, say, humans are. It's difficult for a human to turn right around and come back into the same moment with the same participation. What happens is that when they decide to come back, they look at the circumstances. And if there's a circumstance where they can come into a very young, say, kitten, they may do that. And that requires sometimes a little bit of investigation and patience, especially if you're picky. Like sometimes a cat or a dog, believe it or not, will be kind of form they come back in, what it looks like, how it's going to adjust, and what's going to happen to it. coming back in as a walk-in is a very fast way to turn things around. Sometimes a dog, let's say a dog dies of cancer, the dog will go rest for a little bit just to get its strength back. But a lot of times it will take a more adult body, if it has to get back to its human quicker. So, again, just like in everything else we are asked, there's no standard answer. So it would be up to your kitten, Trevor, whether or not it comes back as a baby or and go through that whole process, which is a little bit more complicated, or it decides to find a form that is adequate enough to come back immediately to their human. But it does happen. They're on a different kind of trajectory when it comes to reincarnation. So they are able to do this, and it is something that they are aware of and can take advantage of if they decide to. And sometimes the cat or a dog decides to say, you know what, I think I'm going to stay here for a bit. I don't know if I want to go back to the reality. And sometimes a cat or a dog won't have that special person that they bonded with, especially if it was feral or if it was, you know, out in the middle of nowhere and there was no humans around for it. So it could either be a walk-in or a kitten. It depends upon what the animal chooses and the expediency of the return. That's pretty much the criteria.
All right. Our next question is coming from Janice. What is the death process like for our pets? Is it similar to a human's experience?
It's similar, but yet very different. They do come in. They aren't greeted normally by friends and family. What they usually do, and especially if it's had a rough time of it in the linear, they will go, it's called Rainbow Bridge, you know, that's what the humans have assigned that name to it, which we think is a beautiful name. But it is a space where it's a never-ending meadow of flowers and birds and bugs and little creatures. They go there, they play with other dogs who have crossed over, or the same thing for a cat. They go and they rest for a little bit to clear their thoughts. Now, they're not confessing, you know, sins and things like that because their experience is very different. And 99% of dogs and cats do not come in with any sort of negative agenda. Usually the negative agenda is played out on them. So we say it's very similar in that regard, but it's not, they don't go before their guides and things to determine what went well in life and what didn't. They're usually like the sidekick for the human, and they are wanting to be connected to their human as much as they can. And a lot of times when they get there, instead of going through the process of contemplation, they will go through the process of reentering, which is a little different than a human, but they can do it more immediately because they are on a different, quote, program. So it's similar, but yet very different. And they can come back into, they can turn around as quickly as a couple of weeks in most cases. But if they're very, very picky on the form, it might take a little longer.
Okay, that was our last question, Veronica. If you'd like to take a break and come back and give the message to the world, that would be great.
All right.
Okay. Well, very interesting questions. A lot of life after death, and it's always interesting to hear what someone is thinking. But please do write in to innerwhispersradio.com. Don't be shy. We'll try to get your question on the air as soon as we can. Are you there, Veronica?
Yes, we are. So we thought today we would speak a little bit about empathy. The ability to feel the emotions and energy of others. Empathy is something where it's not only you participate in your own spiritual development, but you try to participate in others as well. Empathy is something that you either have it sometimes or you don't. But it's important for all to have empathy. And if you feel that you're not, take a good look at yourself and say, am I being, you know, full of empathy here, or am I just being judgmental? it's time for the human condition to include empathy more often than not. There are many humans incarnate that probably don't even know what empathy means or haven't even thought of it. Those are sometimes lesser evolved than those who are of older status or older age in spirit. It's really important to develop the empathy because it can also expand your awareness and it can expand your ability to evolve quicker. And without it, the world is a little bit of a bleak place. That empathy needs to be an ingredient, a key ingredient in all living things on your planet. We highly suggest that all of you decide to be full of love and empathy whenever you can. Feel into someone else's perspective. Look at it through their eyes. Feel their pain. Feel their joy. That is the best way to make connections as well. You can talk, and we bet many of you have talked hours on end to somebody and ended up feeling very disconnected after the fact because there was no empathy exchange, there was no energy exchange on the level that it should have. So we say every day, find something or some way to bring empathy into your life and then start practicing it. The world needs that love. That world needs that acceptance. And there are many on the planet incarnate who don't engage it, and you should. So make it a practice every day to decide you're going to do one thing full of empathy for someone else or at least feel into someone else's perspective and emotion and come away from it changed a bit because you did that. You connected with them. The world would be a better place if you all decided to do that. Why not? Give it a go and see what happens. You might be very pleasantly surprised at the reality you create.
Thank you, Veronica. Beautiful message as always. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the show today. We'll be back with you next week with more questions. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.